1 a.m. on the East Coast. That's right, it's Mother's Day already here on the East Coast. To all you women listening, happy Mother's Day. And there's music playing. That happens to be some of my original music. My friends, at the beginning of the show, that's my music. The music at the end of the show is my music, too. And I just want to remind everybody, when the show ends with my theme song at the end, after that, there'll be one song off my bold CD of 23 songs that I have titled Better Than Dylan. And I guarantee you buy that CD, you will agree that my 23 songs on one CD are better than anything Dylan ever put together. And he can like it or lump it for all I care. But let's get down to talking about connected dots. Hey, it's Mother's Day. There's a connection. It might not be Mother's Day on the West Coast, but it's Mother's Day already on the East Coast. It's after 1 a.m. And I wish my mother a happy Mother's Day. And I'm sure everybody is wishing their mother a happy Mother's Day. But we're going to talk about all kinds of different things today. Let's just run down the stupid news. Okay, big deal, Comey was fired. Whatever. We're all getting tired of listening to that cat and mouse game between the investigation and him saying, sorry, it's classified. If you tell us this, no, it's classified. It shows you how much control our government has of the secret agencies. They just keep telling us everything is classified. Well, I don't know what to say about that. And, all right, so he's fired. They'll get somebody else. Or the healthcare fiasco, again, you know, still crying about how great our Republican healthcare plan is. Hey, you know, they might have made one or two changes and approved a couple of things, but the old story goes you can't make everybody happy. But nobody's talking a real conversation. I was talking about healthcare last week. Real health care has got nothing to do with insurance. No, not at all. Insurance is about insurance companies making money. Real health care is you taking care of yourself, becoming an intelligent human being, understanding what you need to do to keep your physical body in good shape, and then doing it to some extent. You know? When your body starts falling apart, really, you have nobody to blame but yourself. And then you want to run to the doctors and tell them, fix it, doc. Well, you know, doctors are not magicians. And they're not the best people to go to, actually, for your health care. And unfortunately, insurance companies don't allow natural forms of healing. They don't want to pay for that because they're in bed with the pharmaceutical companies. They only want to pay for pharmaceutical band-aids. I mean, sure, there are some instances where, you know, if you have to have heavy surgery or something like that, then insurance policy might be good. But for general health care, insurance companies are not going to help you. Nor are the doctors, really, because they're just not educated in the universities as to what to really do. I mean, there's so many modalities. I think there's over 35 modalities of healing, and insurance companies only want to cover, like, two of the modalities or something like that. They just recently, acupuncture is included. It's a sad story, really. And that's why I say nobody's talking a real conversation about this. Well, and I don't believe enough people are, you know, I've asked everybody to do it who's listening. And even if you don't do it, pass the information along to other people. Chemtrail situation. It's a national security situation. Everybody is being poisoned in America. And the politicians are just going to let it continue. And my solution is everybody has to tweet the president. Because he's the only one with enough authority to put a stop to this immediately. Just write an executive order to stop the planes, and they will be stopped. But that's why we need a chemtrail watch or a chemtrail club. This is, citizens need to get together and do this for themselves, because we are being poisoned, and we know the politicians are not going to lift a finger to do anything for us. They'll even allow their own families to get poisoned before anything gets done. And what else have I come up? Well, we're going to try to widen this. We could have the Chemtrail Picture Club, where we just take pictures and mail them to the White House. And or we could have the Chemtrail Tweeters Club, where we just consistently tweet the president so he'll wake up, and when he's out there playing golf one day, look up in the sky and say, you know, there might be something to this. Of course, his advisors are probably, they don't want to touch the subject, and they, if anything, will say, oh, that's just contrails. And he might not be smart enough to realize there's a difference. Who knows? And, or we could start the Chemtrail Music Tour, you know, where bands get together and they go on tour. And they write songs about chemtrails, how the chemtrails are poisonous, how the politicians are letting it happen, how the big corporations love the whole idea about poisoning the people. And main thing, the bottom line is here, we the people need to do something here, because the authorities are willing to look the other way. Let us all get poisoned to death. Of course, you know, in a Jay Leno type joke, it would be, well, you see how it all works together there. You see, the chemical companies make the poisons, and the military planes get used, and everybody's cooperating, and then they spray the poisons on you, and then you get sick, and then you have to go to the insurance agents to get an insurance policy so you can go to the doctors and get the pharmaceutical nonsense that even makes you more sick. So it's like one big happy family, and everybody's making money along your with your sickness. So there's a purpose to it. You know, it's a sick joke, but there you go. And, well, I'm still talking about chemtrails, and I'll move on to something else soon. Nowadays, you ever look at the commercials on TV, you know, on the fake TV, just about every commercial out there, they've got chemtrails in the back, and the people are doing their commercial. I mean, I don't know what to say. How come nobody's saying anything about this? Is sophisticated mind control really that powerful, or is brain dead at this point in time? I hear the chemtrails can make your brain dysfunction. Maybe that we've allowed it to go on for too long, Ray. Well, let me tell you, this, the name of the show is Connect the Dots, and I don't know how well everybody knows their rock and roll history. So I'm going to connect a few dots for everybody tonight, because I do happen to know a few things about rock and roll history. I mean, you know, people are always talking about, well, where did it start? You know, some people say Elvis. Other people say Bill Haley in the Comets, Rock Around the Clock. You know, other people say Chuck Berry singing Maybelline. Big Joe Turner, Shake, Rattle, and Roll before Bill Haley in the Comets did it. And that takes us back about as far as 1953. But there was even American rock and roll first. young guy out of Philadelphia. He's only 15 years old at the time, but he cut his first bunch of records in 1951. Charlie Gracie cut a record called Rockin' and Rollin'. That's the first time the two words were put together. So it wasn't Alan Freed coming up with the idea of, well, we'll call this new music rock and roll. Here it is, 1951 recording by Charlie Gracie. Famous guy from Philadelphia. He's actually worldwide known. He had a lot of hits in the 50s. Was on Dick Clark a lot. American Bandstand. And he was even on American Bandstand before Dick Clark had it. I mean, this guy is so famous. Paul McCartney is one of his fans. How about that? You know, famous Paul McCartney from the Beatles. Well, he's even told the story when he was a young teenager. He saw this guy from the U.S., Charlie Gracie, perform rock and roll at a local park in Liverpool, England. Now, how about that? In fact, every time Paul McCartney comes and plays in Philadelphia, Charlie Gracie and his whole family are given free tickets to the show. So that's how famous this guy is. And you should look him up on the internet. And the reason I'm mentioning him today and giving this little small education on rock and roll history in America is because already on the East Coast here, it's May 14th. And which happens to be Charlie Gracie's birthday. He's 81 years old today. And he's still out there rocking and rolling with his small little band every week. And he has his local fan club fans in Philly. They come out to see him all the time. And if you, I know the guy personally. If you ever get a chance to see him and meet him, nicest guy in the world. After he does his set, he goes out and talks to the audience, signs autographs, you name it. He's one of the most friendliest guys you ever want to meet. And he's friendly to strangers, and he shows his audience respect. In fact, maybe that's where the Beatles got their idea of being great showmen, from seeing him play back in the 50s when he went to England. He was the first solo performer ever to go to England. How about that for a little rock and roll history? In fact, he still goes to England. He's that popular over there. And he has his fans over there. So, happy birthday, Charlie Gracie. And to your wife, happy Mother's Day. So, how about that? Now everybody's educated about true rock and roll history. Well, just in case, remember this is a call-in radio show. It's Connect the Dots, and just in case you don't have the number written down, the call-in number is 888-627-6008. So pick up the phone and call in and connect the dots in your own way. And there's so many things to connect the dots with. That's why I wrote a book, Connect the Dots Theory, available everywhere. Go out and buy it and find out what real knowledge is, what's really going on behind the scenes, much more than most people know what's going on. Most people know a particular incident or something like that, but I've taken a whole bunch of incidents, and plus I bring forth information that nobody has ever brought forth before, and that's why I claim my book, Connected Dots Theory, is the most thought-provoking book for the early part of the 21st century. It's worth its weight in gold. It has so many pictures of amazing things happening in the sky at ground level and even higher that even if you don't like to read, the book's worth buying for the 50 sky photos and the other 25 or 30 diagrams and other photos related to things. Things that you can't see, but the camera can. And that alone is worth buying the book for. And then you can read the information about what it all adds up to. You know, I explain what you're looking at in the photographs. It's not just like, what's that, you know? I think I have one photograph where I say, I'm not sure what happened here, but, you know, that's one. All the other ones are explained. But, just remember, Barnes & Noble, fine, it's available everywhere. Buy it. You'll become a smarter person. It teaches people how to connect the dots. It teaches you, the reader, how to think beyond the obvious. Think outside the box and connect the dots for yourself. Because this is what we all have to do. You know, if we've been connecting the dots the last 10 years, we wouldn't be complaining about these damn chemtrails that are poisoning us. But people aren't paying attention, you know? And people are not connecting the dots, but you need to do it to save your life, because that's where we're at in this world. And talking about how bad it is in this world, I'm pretty well informed about things, and I'm always running across information. Like, recently I came across, there's something like, somebody put together a list, there's been over 1,000 nuclear accidents that have not been reported, but officially been reported, but were found out about and kept under the table. And of course, a lot of people probably listening to the show out in California, smart meters out there, but they're doing that on the East Coast here. The towns blackmail the people into going with the smart meters, which is creates dirty electricity, which is unhealthy for a human body. It's all about money, and it's all about killing the human population off. And I've said it before, and I'll say it again, it's in my book. It's the not of this earth creatures who are behind this whole thing. They rule the banks, they rule the world, ruling families, and they've been, they're on a hell-bent mission to get rid of most of the human race now, because they're ready for the big takeover. Come on, every science fiction movie ever made talks about aliens coming here looking to take us over. Well, it was, we can look back at them now and think of them as warnings, because it's happening right now. Don't try to pretend it's not. It's happening. If you can't see it happening, it's only because you're not looking. And so I came up with the, I always use that term rather than ETs, because, I'm an inventor person. So I came up with the acronym NOTE Creatures. NOTE standing for N-O-T-E. This has got nothing. It's an acronym. It's got nothing to do with the musical scale. I'm going to start calling them the NOTE Creatures, because they're the ones that want us dead, they want us sick, and they want us weakened. NOTE is the acronym for not of this earth, N-O-T-E, not of this earth creatures. And these are the big bad guys who are running the whole show now. They're the masters of the mind control, and of course there's humans doing mind control against humans too, but it's the not of this earth creatures that are doing the full-scale mind control of the population. They're the ones who are behind the chemtrails to poison us. They're the ones behind the fracking. And they find stupid humans that are willing to sell their own race out, that's us, the human race, for money. They're having no problem finding these creatures because they're everywhere. Everybody who is just looking to make money, let's set up a fracking well here. Never mind we destroy the people's water who live there and make all other kinds of air pollution problems for these people. We're making money. What do we care? And all this hype that we need, this shale oil fuel, I mean, the whole thing has been proven already. It's an environmental hazard. You know, we're going to ruin good water that the people depend on. We're going to make these families locally sick. And it's all for money. And, oh, because we need more energy. Well, the fact of the matter is that it's all about money again. Selling us energy you know, started out, I don't know, was it started out with coal? Who knows? And then it went to oil. And it's all about greedy people making a lot of money. When I happen to know this story, maybe I'm not telling it correct. If not, somebody call up and tell me I told it a little wrong. But as the story goes, it was like the President Eisenhower was in office, and a certain particular extraterrestrial being from another world, who had a kind of popular name, I believe his name was Thor, maybe? I'm not sure which his name was. It doesn't matter what his name was. The point was, he met with the President of the United States, Dwight Eisenhower, in the early 50s, and offered the world free energy. And the President was bullied into not accepting that offer. Was he bullied by the energy companies? Of course. You know, they made their case. Well, hey, people will be out of work. You know, there's thousands of people employed in these industries, and it will be a catastrophe. But, you know, that was just the people making the money talking. In interest of the human race, we should have took that offer when it was given. So free energy does exist. It's just the people in power. And, of course, we know the Tesla story. He was wanted to give people free energy from broadcasting towers and other means. And basically, they had to knock him down, steal his technology, turn him into a poor person, and ruin his career, because the energy people didn't want to lose the money that they saw they were going to lose if he brought his free energy devices. And then the alien comes along from another world and offers us free energy, the whole human race. And we foolishly turned it down. But, of course, there was a lot of pressure from the energy makers. So this is the sad story we have. You know, we could all have free energy now, except for the people that they just want to keep making more money. And more power. More money means more power. And it's sickening, really. I wish somebody who hasn't get in touch with these ETs who have the free energy, have them get in touch with me. There's the mistake of the extraterrestrial beings who wanted to help us out. They went and talked to the government. Boy, that was a big mistake, because we know on Earth that all governments are corrupt, because they're all controlled by the other bad guys, the not of this Earth creatures, who are addicted to control, and they just use us and abuse us, and we're only good for slave labor or amusement. That's the way it is. It's been that way. Read my book, Connect the Dots Theory, and you'll find out all about it. Traces the historical record from the ancient Sumerian civilizations and the ones that came before them, and it's clearly, if the evidence is there, and we've been taken over for hundreds of thousands of years, and this modern society is just another form of control. It's all in my book. I connect the dots, and you're not going to be able to prove what I've concluded wrong. I've tried. I don't care. Maybe you can, but, you know, I stand by what I put in the book. And, like, on top of that, what do we have today? We have a systematic destruction of things human race love. I'm just going to give you some examples and show you that this plot to sicken us, destroy us, make us unhappy, because it's my firm belief that the a lot of these negative ET races, they envy us, but they hate us at the same time, because we know how to have fun as human beings, and they don't know how to have fun. Nothing is fun in their races. They're all robots or insects or, you know, hive mentality, and they don't know how to enjoy life. And so they hate us for that. And when they see us having fun, they, because they are the real world controllers, they go through an extreme effort to take away our fun. And I'll just give you a few examples that, if you can look back on recent U.S. history, you'll see what I'm talking about. Back in the 1950s, the U.S. automobile industry was the greatest auto industry on the face of the planet. We were making cars that were works of art. They had chrome rocket ships on them. They had giant fins like planes. And everybody in the world loved these cars because they were not just vehicles to go around. They were things that had style and class and curvy lines that were of beauty. And what happened? All of a sudden, our stupid government, yeah, Democrats and Republicans, started making these laws saying, well, these cars were dangerous. The ornaments sticking off them could be harmful to people. So they made laws that we couldn't have extravagant-looking automobiles that looked more like rocket ships and were cool-looking, you know? And they forced the auto industry into making boxes, shoebox-type cars. But that wasn't enough. You know, they added more restrictions and more restrictions on the auto industry. And it's the Democrats and the Republicans with their ridiculous lawmaking. Of course, they were under the influence of the not of this earth creatures because they wanted to destroy our love for the automobile. And they succeeded in doing that to some extent, you know. And what else have they, there's a concerted effort to destroy things that people like. You know, people appreciate buildings that have ornamental architecture on it. So what did they do? You know, and don't tell me this happened just by chance. The not of these earth creatures used their persuasive mind control abilities to show the contractors, well, you can make more money if you just make a square rectangle box and forget the ornaments and stuff. And we'll just keep making these. You know, these were also known as the projects when they first came out. And we'll just make all the buildings rectangular, and we'll put no ornamentation on them because it's cheaper to make them this way, you know? And, of course, when you show people who are, their mindset is all about making money, that you can make things cheaper, they go for it because that's how gullible we are. So in the interest of making money and changing the whole construction industry, all of a sudden it became even unprofitable to repair the old building. So what happened? We just started destroying old neighborhoods and just putting up housing projects, you know, known as the projects. And we did this with public buildings, too. We cleared out whole neighborhoods and we put up ugly rectangle-shaped buildings. And how it was really hurting humanity? All the old neighborhoods that many of us had grown up in, you know, go away for 10 years or something, you come back and you want to reminisce, the old neighborhood wasn't there anymore. Even the streets weren't there. They stole our memories. And believe me, this wasn't happening just by chance. This is the evil ETs. They hate us because we know how to enjoy things. We appreciate beauty, and they just don't have it in their vocabulary or their thinking. But they are envious, envious of having a good time, and they've tried. They're the ones behind destroying everything good about the human race, because they it just irks them to no end that we know how to have fun and enjoy life and be happy, and they don't even probably know what it is to be happy, because they've got the hive mentality, and it's all about control and violence and serving the hive mentality, where the human race is, we're actually individuals. And that's another part of a society that's constantly being attacked, trying to take away our individuality, trying to make us one size fits all. And so we've been perpetrated with plans designed to fail continuously, and battle goes on, and we have weak legal authorities that just are going along with this insanity. They, you know, lawmakers, they should be making laws to help the human race be more human, but they're not. They're making the laws to take away our rights and make us less human. And I say, and I quoted this point in my book, the key is mind control. That's how bad this human race is being mind controlled. And they come up with more things to make us unhappy. All these ridiculous things, people have to wait in lines. I call it the waiting in line conspiracy. You wait in the food line, you wait in the bank line, you wait in the store line, you wait in the public assistance line. You wait in the motor vehicle line. Huh? There's the real hell right there. We've all been through that one. And these lines can be eliminated, but they're not. They're kept in place because they're not of this earth creatures, really. They look in. They want to see us suffer. They don't want us having a good time. And I'll give you a perfect example. I don't know if everybody goes to the post office anymore, but on the East Coast here, we have a lot of large post offices, giant buildings, so the whole block is a post office or something like that. And you walk in there, and they got like 20 windows that used to be filled with people. And then what do you see? Giant post offices, 20 windows there, and they'll have two clerks handling a line backed up with 100 people. And when and sometimes the other windows are open, nobody's attending them. You can look in the black, in the back of who's working in the back, and you'll see, mind you, two people at the windows taking care of 100 people standing on line. And you look in the back, and you see about 25, 30 people walking around, listening to radios, telling jokes to each other. Maybe out of that 25, 35 people are working, you know? And this is what we're being put through. There's no reason for it except, I say, it's a consorted plot to just make our lives as miserable as possible and make all the wrong decisions. In fact, that's my definition of a manager. Managers are people that manage to do the wrong thing all the time, basically. I mean, when I started, went out into the work field after high school and I started working at jobs, I quickly saw that the people that knew the most on any job were the people who were doing the work. The bosses, the managers come around and ordering people what to do. They knew the least. And now, as you know, after seeing this enough, I'm quite conclusive. In fact, there's an unreasonable amount of new managers managing managers and managing this and managing that beyond the point of reality. And like I say, managers always manage to make the wrong decision or manage to mess the things up because they don't know what they're doing. If you don't believe me, hey, go to a supermarket, see, and any supermarket, and see what goes on. There's no common sense in supermarkets anymore. I don't care what chain store it is. I'm not going to give them anybody a free message here, a free commercial. But any one of the big supermarket chains you go in, and we all have our favorite foods we like. And I talk to other people about this, and they agree with me. Yeah, every time I go in the supermarket, the things I want are not there. And I found this is true in every supermarket, especially supermarket where I like things, you know, a certain product. Well, turns out the certain product, not only I like it, apparently everybody else does too, like favorite cookies or favorite ice creams. And the favorite item sells out in a couple of days, and it never gets replenished. You know? I mean, again, is everybody brain dead? You know, if you were really intelligently running a supermarket, not having it managed by people who manage to mess and do all the wrong things, realize, hey, this item sells out real fast. We'll get more, and we'll make more profit. Nope, it never happens. And this is true in every big supermarket today. Go check it out for yourself. Your favorite item, you know, it'll sell out and they won't replenish it. They'll wait till the end of the month and the truckload comes in with the same small amount they had the last month, and that'll sell out in a day or two, and then you have to wait another 28 days to get a replacement because nobody is walking around and just making a simple look observation. You know, they've... apparently, ordering in a supermarket has been given to the artificial intelligence, and they don't have the ability to walk around and look or make sense of it. They just, like, repeat the numbers. Oh, we sold out 20 ice creams. Okay. So they won't realize it sold out in 2 days. So when the next month's order comes in, they'll order 20 ice creams again, you know, not thinking, you know. Machines only can think as far as you program, and artificial intelligence is considered cheap labor nowadays. We don't have to pay anybody to order anymore. We'll just program a stupid, lame computer, and they'll do all the wrong things because we didn't program them right. And this is what we have to deal with in this universe. It's insanity, but I'm connecting the dots here tonight. I'll just jump to something else now because there's a million things connect the dots with. Just in case anybody hasn't forgotten, I am a 2020 U.S. presidential candidate, a write-in candidate, and this is how I'm doing my run for the presidency for 2020. I'm the first person to use a radio station as my base for running my campaign. Eventually, word's going to get around that, hey, a really intelligent person is running for President of the United States, and he's doing it as a writing candidate, which is the only way to beat the big guys, because they don't believe it can be done. But let them keep thinking that. Anyhow, I've got a book out now that proves I'm one of the most knowledgeable people on the face of this planet. Maybe I didn't go up on in the saucer with the ET people yet. Okay, whatever. I know there's people that have done that. Everybody has their specialty. And no, I haven't worked on a secret government project, but I know all about them because I've heard from people who have worked on the projects. And I listen to other radio shows where people come on and talk about, yeah, I'm a whistleblower from this project. I couldn't take it anymore. I just had to quit and blow the whistle. But knowledgeable person, and I claim to be more knowledgeable than anybody I know in all around things. Sure, there's specialty people. I'll give an example. Like, there's grand chess masters, okay? I mean, I don't care if you're a grand chess master. I'll probably still beat you. I might not beat you the first game, but I've been playing chess since I was a little kid. And it's good for your mental skills. And I never ran across the person yet. I couldn't beat the game of chess. You might win the first game. You might win the second game. But by the third game, I'll be beating you. Because that's the kind of person I am. I'm just good at doing things. And, of course, the purpose of chess is not to be the grandmaster. So it's to learn the lessons that the game of chess has to offer. While I'm speaking about chess, let me connect a few other dots here. Hey, this show is called Connect the Dots, named after my unbelievably fantastic book, mind-expanding book, called Connect the Dots Theory. Well, here's a chess story And I invite anybody to look this one up. For when I was a little kid, I saw Alice in Wonderland, the Walt Disney version. It was on TV, and my favorite scene in that classic cartoon was the chessboard scene, where Alice is on the chessboard, and everywhere she steps, the chess pieces say, "Get off here, you can't stand there," and they push her onto another square, and then another piece. Chesapeake says, "No, you can't stand there." She gets pushed all over the board. Well, lo and behold, years down the road, you know, they were going to reshow it on TV, you know. I said, "Oh boy, I can't wait to see this. I haven't seen it since I was a kid. And I want to see that chessboard scene because that was my favorite scene for some reason. In fact, it's talked about in a famous record called White Rabbit, done by the Jefferson Airplane back in maybe 1970 or something like that, 69 or 70. Anyhow, it's a famous record, and where Grace Slick, the leader of the Jefferson Airplane, sings "When the Men on the Chessboard Get Up and Tell You Where to Go." So it's in the song. So, if it wasn't for that song, I'd begin to wonder, was my memory incorrect? You know, so, shows up on TV, this might have been in the 80s or something. I thought, yeah, I want to see that. I haven't seen that since I was a little kid. And sure enough, the chessboard scene wasn't there. What the hell? Why would they cut that scene out? That's the best scene in the whole damn cartoon. And so, I'm in a video store, you know, I saw Alice in Wonderland, so I bought the tape. The tape did. Went home, played it. Chessboard scene wasn't there. Well, the DVD tapes eventually came out. Disney one was there, I bought that. Wasn't there. Time goes by, and back or in the 90s now. Again, TV's having, the fully unedited version, new lost scenes found from Walt Disney's Alice in Wonderland. I said, oh, it's got to be here. So I'm watching it, and would you believe the chess scene wasn't in the show? And they're raving and ranting. We found all the lost footage and stuff like that. So the only conclusion I can think of was, for some reason or another, that scene was somehow taken out and it's gone forever. And how could that be done? Well, because I found out about time travel really just back in the 90s. So once I found out that time travel does exist, I mean, of course, in retrospect, now the information's out, they pretty well had it nailed down in 72 or something like that, but or was it 83 when they finished the Montauk Project? But and I talked to one of the people who owned the Montauk Project, which was a continuation of the Philadelphia experiment. That was time travel, but except we, the human race, didn't know how to operate it. So it was an experiment going haywire at that point in time. But anyhow, time travel has been proven to work. So my hypothesis is here that the secret groups that have the time travel machine, whether it's the secret military or the mad scientists, there's always that debate where if you went and removed something, went time travel and removed something, would it alter the future? Especially if you went back and altered something. Could you stop something from happening? So I believe that as an experiment, they came up with the idea, what do we go to the past and remove that really wouldn't affect anything in the future except people's memory, like mine. Remember that chess board scene? And he went back to the time that the Alice in Wonderland was being filmed, and they, I guess, snuck in the cutting room or and snipped that section out and took it back with them into the future so that it would no longer be available when people wanted to replay the movie. No original chessboard scene anymore. So that's my hypothesis on it, that that was a test run, what they could take out of the past that really wouldn't alter the future. And probably hasn't altered the future, except that I remember that scene very well, and we have the record White Rabbit that testifies where Gracie Slick is singing about it when the men on the chessboard get up and tell you where to go. I defy, hey, prove me wrong. I defy anybody. Bring me a copy of, find that copy of Alice in Wonderland that still has the chessboard scene in it. I think it's gone forever because they use time travel, I believe, to rip that out of the past and it doesn't exist anymore. Memories. And I'm connecting the dots here. Here's another topic to connect the dots, if you're listening intensely to the show. Crop circles. Everybody heard about them. We've all seen pictures of them. And complicated geometric patterns are said to have messages. Well, that's another reason you want to go out and buy my book, Connect the Dots Theory, because I do some analysis of the crop circles, and there are some very interesting common denominators that show up in the crop circles. I may not have the exact message, but I've done a mathematical geometric analysis of the crop circles, and certain patterns keep showing up, which is telling us about connections of the total universe. There might be other messages in the crop circles, but I've dissected them, and I bring to light the point that certain geometric symbolism shows up in all these crop circles, pretty much. And that is an important point, and just one more reason to buy this great book called Connected. I claim it's a great book because I put enough knowledge in this book that the knowledge in this one book alone can be used to address every single problem on the face of the earth now. And you might say that's unbelievable. Well, I didn't have to use everything in that book to address every situation, and that's why I claim I'm the most qualified person to be the next president of the United States, because I've got the knowledge, and I wrote the book that proves I have the knowledge. And what else can I say? I talked about my new CD, Songs Better Than Dylan, because I have some of the most philosophical songs ever written put into this CD. And over a span of time, I ended up with a great collection of great philosophical songs. I mean, I was inspired growing up. So people using songs to tell messages, tell stories, speak philosophy. I wanted to write songs like that, and I eventually learned how to do it, and I did, and recorded them. And a great philosophical song is sometimes enough to change the world. So I've got the goods. I've got the philosophy, I've got the knowledge, and I'm ready to take on the presidency, believe me. What Donald Trump has done since he's been in is nothing compared to what I could do with the office of the presidency. Because I've got the knowledge that most presidents, in fact, I can't think of one president that has as much knowledge as I do. And that's why I believe I should be the president. I believe everyone should go out and vote for an intelligent person that has that much knowledge. Because the knowledge is all out here, you just have to go looking for it. You can make yourself an intelligent person. I don't, you know, I believe I'm only as intelligent as I've made myself. Went searching for the truth, and I found it. And I found out a lot of other things along the path, too. And that's what life is about. Things like that. But one thing for sure is, you free your minds, because we're living in a world where brainwashing is the norm. You know, the public education systems are shams. Tell you what it is to be a human being. You know, it's not just flesh and blood. Five overlapping bodies, at least. Some people say it's more. And then you have the other overlapping bodies, energy bodies, soul, spirit, and so on, and intuition, of course. And everyone should listen to their intuition. Of course, they don't really push that in school because they just want you to follow rules. And recite the alphabet or something. Which is important, you need to learn the alphabet. But there's a you know what, I think it's time for a joke. Sorry, connect the dots, and this is a I got a joke that connects the dots, kind of like. First, I call this the ultimate bird joke. I don't know, if you're really young, you might not get it, because it uses a lot of old cliches that aren't used that much anymore, but you might get it. Certainly, if you're of age, you will get the joke. I'll do a warm-up first. What do you call a bird that's feeling sorry for himself? A bluebird. Golly gee. Okay, this is the ultimate bird joke. Did you hear about the cardinal that got caught robbing? He got so fluttered at the idea of being cooped up in a cage like some kind of parakeet. He started to sing like a canary, and eventually he became a school pigeon. Well, I'll be. What can I say? Except healthcare is a fiasco. Just in case you missed it last week, I was trying to inform people that you need to start taking care of your own health. And I'm sure I know plenty of stories. People, you know, they get a little ailment, they run to the doctors, and the doctor prescribes antibiotics and takes care of their little problem, and then eventually these things don't work anymore because pharmaceutical antibiotics, germs get build up resistance to these things. So you can play that trick for a couple of times. But look at all the money you're wasting. Just the trip to the doctor alone. You know, I was talking about colloidal silver is the original antibiotic. Germs can't mutate against it. Comes in a bottle, it's liquid. Comes in a 2 ounce bottle, 4 ounce bottle, whatever you want to get. To get the right potency, 1,100 parts per million. And give you the phone number to get yourself some, because you'll save yourself a lot of money instead of running to the doctors every time. You get yourself a bottle, 4 ounce bottle, probably lasts you all year. And instead of 5 runs to the doctors, which will end up costing you hundreds of dollars, and it probably doesn't cost that much. So just for anybody who didn't get the number last week, it's 1-800-952-7921. And that's the number you can get, 1,100 parts per million colloidal silver, the original antibiotic before penicillin. And you'll be saving yourself a lot of money, and you'll start getting yourself on the right track about doing things for yourself. And of course, well, you know, you're going to need to take care of yourself when the EMP attack comes. Always coming. Everybody's talking about it. We all need to get prepared for that. Well, because the hospitals will not be operating. They won't have any electric. They won't have anything going. People won't even be able to get there because your car won't even run. If you have a new remodel, and we all have new remodels. Of course, that's been part of the plan, get rid of all the old cars so that nobody will have good transportation when EMP attacks. Who's going to do it? The secret world government. That's just going to do it. Don't worry about the Russians or the Chinese or any of those other fanatical groups. It's going to be the secret world government. And they have ins and outs in every country in the world, and when they want to pull it, they're going to do it. And the U.S. isn't prepared now. Isn't it funny how mind-controlled our politicians are? This problem has been brought up to them, I don't know, was it 10 years ago, if not longer, and they haven't lifted a finger to do anything about it. They're just going to let it happen, just like they let you get poisoned with the chemtrails. Come on, everybody, it's time to wake up. You know, these people in charge are useless. They're worthless. We could almost call them traitors. Traitors for their inaction to do anything and to not be awake as to what is happening in America here, what's happening in the world. Commandeered, I'm all the U.S. government has been commandeered, definitely people in Washington. You know? Again, you want to read my book, Connect the Dots Theory, explains how this is happening. It's not that difficult once the roadmap is laid out for you. And then you'll begin to start to think, at least, and realize, hey, you know, there's something to this here. Because if we don't wake up soon enough, enough people don't wake up, we are in trouble. It's time to head for the hills, hunker down in the cave, because there's going to be mass troubles happening. And then not as this earth, no creatures are going to go into the kill. The writing's on the wall. You know, will we make it to the 2020 election? I don't know. I mean, you know, it's that close now. I hope we make it there, and I hope I get the presidency, because God knows what to do to start dealing with this. I'm telling you about now what we need to do. But you think that you can sit on your ass and do nothing, you're mistaken, because everybody needs to jump in, pitch in, and join the bucket brigade, we could call it. I mean, they use that term for other things, but it's time for people to forget their differences and come together and save ourselves, because the lawmakers and government are going to let us die very. It's sad. Guess what? We're coming to this end of the show. And after my theme song, I'd like everybody to stay tuned and listen to the first song off my CD, because it's just a great song, and it's an anthem. about being somebody, and we all should be somebody, and we shouldn't be satisfied if we're not. Again, every song I write has a meaning to it. Always the best. Every song I write has a message to it. Because that's the kind of songwriter I am. And we're getting down to that final moment. I'm ready to hear my theme music, which will be followed by a song off my CD titled "I Gotta Be Somebody." So it's a song for everybody. So let me see if the engineer is going to follow my countdown. I'll do it from 10, 8, 7, 5, 4. Don't forget to tune in next Saturday, 10 p.m. Pacific time. 3, 2, 1.
Statistic. I don't want to be just a nobody. Gotta be somebody or I won't be satisfied. Gotta be somebody, feel alive. I don't want to be no John Doe. I don't want to grow just to be old. Gotta be somebody or I won't be satisfied. Gotta be somebody, feel alive. Wanna know I was here, took my stand without fear, made it clear to the world my ideas. And all those people that had walked on by now stopped and looked, cause I caught their eye. I don't wanna be nobody's slave. I don't wanna join, join in my grave. Gotta be somebody or I won't be satisfied. Gotta be somebody, stand without fear, it is clear to the world my ideas. And all those people that had walked on by now stop to look, cause I caught their eye.